In the next picture, Chris is smiling at the camera. I'm looking up at Jonah, and Jonah is looking down at me. And I remember that moment. I remember that look. In the third picture, Jonah is out of the frame. He had broken our stare and walked off. I've tried not to think about that day or the 10 minutes before that picture was taken, and I haven't. Not in a long time. But the pictures force me to recall it in vivid detail. We had been at Jonah's house because he was the only one who had a pool. Jenny was on a towel laid out on the concrete, trying to get a tan near the shallow end of the pool. Chris had just gotten out of the water to go inside the house because he was hungry. Jonah was holding on to a raft a few feet away from me, his body submerged in the water, his arms stretched out over the raft. I couldn't touch, and my legs were tired, so I swam over to him and grabbed onto the float. The raft was poorly inflated and probably a few summers old, so it wasn't very reliable, especially with both of us hanging onto it. I started slipping, so Jonah grabbed my arms, then slid his leg around the back of my knee to anchor me in place. I don't think either of us expected to be jolted by the contact, but I could tell he felt it too. I could tell because his eyes changed shape and darkened at the same moment I shuddered. I'd been dating Chris for a while at that point, and in all the times he'd touched me while we dated, I had never felt that kind of current pass through me. The kind that not only left you breathless, but left you fearing you'd die from lack of oxygen if you didn't back away. I wanted to slip with Jonah under the water and use his mouth for air. The thought startled me. I tried to pull away, but Jonah held onto my arms. His eyes were pleading, as if he knew the second I pulled away, he'd never get to touch me like that again. So I stayed, and we stared. That's all that happened. Nothing was said, other than the way he was keeping me afloat with his leg wrapped around mine beneath the water. I wouldn't even say our touch was inappropriate. Had Chris seen it? He wouldn't have thought a thing about it. Had Jenny seen it? She wouldn't have even been mad. But that's because they didn't feel what was happening between us. They couldn't hear everything that wasn't being said. A few seconds later, Chris walked back outside and dove into the pool. Jonah unwrapped his leg from around mine, but he didn't let go of my arms. The ripples from the waves Chris's dive had left caused the float to rock, but our eyes never unlocked, not even when Chris sprang up out of the pool next to me and splashed water on us. Chris wrapped both arms around my waist, pulling me away from the raft. My arms began to slip out of Jonah's, and I watched Jonah wince when my fingers slid through his and then left him empty. We were no longer touching. Chris was holding me up, pressing his mouth to mine, and I knew Jonah was watching us kiss. In that moment, I felt full of guilt, but not because of the moment I had shared with Jonah. Somehow it felt like Jonah was the one I had betrayed, which made absolutely no sense. I climbed out of the pool right after that. A moment later, Jenny had her camera out, asking us to pose for a picture. I remember after the first picture, I glanced up at Jonah. He was looking down at me with an expression that felt like it put a crack in my chest. I didn't understand it then. Back then, I thought it was just attraction. A teenage boy hoping to make out with a teenage girl. But right after Jenny took the second picture, Jonah stormed off into his house. His actions confused me, and I wanted to ask him about it, but I never did. A few weeks later, I found out I was pregnant. Then Jonah Sullivan skipped town. I stare at the picture, the one of Jonah looking down at me. I finally understand that look in his eyes. It wasn't attraction or contempt. It's heartache. I put the pictures back in the box and replace the lid. I stare at the box, wondering what would have happened if he had never left. If he had stayed, would we have ended up like Jenny and Chris? I don't want to think we could have ended up like that, sneaking around, betraying the people we love the most. I've been so angry at Jonah for leaving, but I get it now. He had to. He knew if he stayed, someone besides him would have ended up getting hurt. I've been avoiding him since his return because my feelings for him were supposed to be dormant. It was supposed to be a teenage crush that fizzled out after I moved on with Chris. I've been lying to myself, doing everything in my power to convince myself that the feelings Jonah stirs up inside me are nothing more than anger. I'm a terrible liar, though. I always have been. I knock lightly when I reach his front door. If Elijah is asleep, I don't want to wake him. I take a step back, hugging myself. There's a heavy breeze that swirls around me, but I don't know if the chills on my arms are caused by the wind or seeing Jonah standing in the open doorway. He's in a pair of blue jeans and nothing else. His hair is wet and messy. His eyes are drawing me in like they always have. But this time, I don't force myself to look away. "Yes," I say. He looks at me, perplexed.
"Did I ask you a question?"
I nod. "You asked me if I would have left Chris had I not gotten pregnant with Clara. My answer is yes." He stares at me, hard. And then it's as if this invisible wall that's always been shielding him from me suddenly disappears. He becomes a different person entirely. His features soften, his shoulders relax, his lips part, his chest rises and falls with a smooth release of air.
"Is that the only reason you're here?"
I shake my head and take one step closer. My heart is pounding so hard right now that I want to turn around and run. But I know the only thing that can ease this ache I feel is Jonah. I want to know what it feels like to be held by him, to be with him. All this time, I've never even allowed myself to imagine it. Now I want to experience it. My hands are at my sides now. Jonah barely lifts his finger, hooking it around one of mine. A jolt of electricity spirals its way through my chest, and then a chill rushes down my arm. Jonah's arms are covered with chills, too. They run over his chest and up his neck. I slip my entire hand into his, and he grips it, squeezes it. "I might regret this tomorrow," I warn. He steps forward, wrapping his free hand around the back of my neck, pulling me close to his mouth. Before he touches my lips, his gaze flickers over my face.
"You won't."
He pulls me inside and closes the door behind us. He backs me against the living room door, and it feels like I'm swallowing fire when his lips finally touch mine. It's everything I've denied myself from feeling. Our kiss last night felt incredible, but this kiss makes last night's kiss feel like it was a mere teaser. Jonah presses his entire body against mine, and it feels like a lifetime of ache is being soothed with each brush of his fingertips against my skin, with each flick of his tongue, each sound that escapes our throats. We end up on the couch, him on top of me, my hands dragging over his back, feeling his muscles tense and roll beneath my fingertips. It's like we're making up for all the years we missed out on this feeling. We kiss like teenagers for 10 minutes, exploring each other, tasting each other, moving against each other. I eventually have to turn my face away from his, just so I can catch my breath. I feel lightheaded. He presses his forehead to my cheek and sucks in all the air I've just stolen from him.
"Thank you," he whispers breathlessly.
He closes his eyes and brings his mouth to my ear. His breath is warm as it trickles down my neck.
"I needed to know I wasn't crazy, that this feeling hasn't all been in my head."
I pull his mouth back to mine. I kiss him gently, and then he drops his head to my neck and sighs. "That day in your pool," I whisper, "do you remember?" Quiet laughter meets my skin.
"I've been searching for that feeling since the second Chris pulled you away from me."
I want to say me too, but it would be a lie. I haven't searched for that feeling at all. I've spent every year of my marriage trying to forget it, attempting to pretend that kind of connection didn't really exist. Every time I caught myself thinking back on that day, I found things to blame. The heat, the sun, the chlorine in the pool, the alcohol we'd been sneaking from Jonah's pantry. Jonah pulls away from me and grabs my hand, easing me onto my feet. He quietly leads me to the bedroom. We're kissing as he lowers me to the bed, and I love how he takes his time. He doesn't remove a single piece of my clothing. He just kisses me in every position. Him on top, me on top, both of us on our sides. We make out, and it's everything I hoped it would feel like. He leans over me, dragging his lips down my neck. His breath is warm against the base of my throat when he says,
"I'm scared."
Those words send a chill through me. He stops kissing me and presses his cheek to my chest. I thread my fingers through his hair. Scared of what?
Your need to protect Clara. He lifts his face. My need to be honest with Elijah? We aren't on the same page, Morgan. I've waited too long for this to be a one-time thing. But I'm not sure you want what I want.
He scoots up, sliding his hand beneath my shirt, pressing his palm against my stomach. I'm staring up at the ceiling, and I could swear the ceiling is pulsating to the rhythm of my heartbeat. I don't know what I want. My eyes find his. And I do know what I want. I'm lying. I know exactly what I want. I just don't know if it's possible. She'll never understand. And what would we tell Elijah?
We would tell him the truth. Do you really think it's better for Clara to think we're the bad guys in this scenario?
You saw how devastated she was because of a kiss. Imagine if she finds out about Elijah, about what Jenny and Chris did. She'll never be able to forgive that. I can see a flash of understanding on Jonah's face, but he shakes his head.
So? He falls onto his back. Chris and Jenny get away with an affair. They get away with lying to me about fathering a child. They get away with being eternal idols in Clara's eyes. And in the meantime, me and you are forced to keep our mouths shut and live separately in misery because of actions we aren't even responsible for.
I realize it's not fair. I lift myself up onto my elbow and look at him. I put my hand on his hardened jaw and force him to meet my focused stare. Chris was a shitty husband. He was a shitty friend to you. But he was a wonderful father. I run my thumb over his lips, pleading with him through my teary eyes. If she ever finds out Elijah isn't yours, it'll devastate her. Please don't tell him. All he knows is you, anyway. It's not the same as if Clara were to find out about Chris. I'll take their secret to my grave if it means protecting her from that kind of pain. Jonah turns his head, pulling away from my hand.
The rejection stings. I'm not like you. I don't want to lie to my child.
I fall onto my back. More tears come. I shouldn't have come over here. It was a bad idea. I've lived this long suffering through terrible longing I've kept buried for Jonah. What's 50 more years?
We have to work this out. Come to an agreement, he says. I want to be with you.
That's why I'm here, so you can be with me.
I want you in more ways than this.
I squeeze my eyes shut for a moment, working out what that would mean. Even in all of Chris's infidelity, I still feel guilty that I'm here, in Jonah's bed. Kissing him felt so good when I wasn't thinking too hard about it. It's the best feeling I've had in a long, long time. But now that he's forcing me to look at where this will lead, I just feel miserable again. I look him directly in the eye. You're telling me you're willing to ruin every memory my daughter has with her father, yet in the same conversation, you're asking me to be with you in more than one way? To fall in love with you?
No, he says. I'm not asking you to fall in love with me, Morgan. You already love me. I'm just asking you to give that a chance.
I do not love you. I roll toward the other side of the bed, away from him. I need to leave. I start to stand, but he grips my arm and pulls me back to the bed, onto my back. I press my hands against his chest to push him away, but he's on top of me now, staring down at me with a familiar look in his eyes. I'm instantly still. I'm weak beneath that stare. He's looking at me like he was in that picture, full of heartache. Or maybe this is what Jonah looks like when he loves something so much it hurts. I suddenly don't feel an urgent need to leave. I relax beneath him, into him, around him. I suck in air when he lowers his mouth to my jawline, dragging his lips slowly up to my ear.
You love me.
I shake my head. I don't. That's not why I'm here. He kisses me, just below my ear.
You do. He says, you've just done an excellent job at hiding it, but you've said it in every silent conversation we've ever had.
There's no such thing as silent conversation. He's looking into my eyes in a way no man has ever looked at me before. Then he dips his head and rests his lips against mine.
It's okay. You don't have to say it. I love you too.
When his lips close over mine, there's an intensity in his kiss that makes me lose myself. There's something about being Jonah's first choice, maybe even his only choice, that makes every look he gives me and every touch and every word he speaks reach me on a level Chris never could. A level I feel so deep in my soul it makes me ache beneath all the satisfaction his kiss brings. When he settles himself between my legs, I moan into his mouth and pull him closer to me. I forget everything. The only thoughts I have are of this moment, how rough his hands are as they pull off my shirt, how soft his lips are when they meet my breasts, how effortless his movements are as he slips out of his jeans, how in sync our gasps are when we're finally skin to skin, how intense his eyes are when he begins to push into me. It's a completeness I've never experienced before. It's as if he knows exactly where to touch me, how soft, how firm, where I want his lips. He feels like a professor of my body, and I feel like an inexperienced student, cautiously touching him, unsure if my fingers or my lips can even come close to making him feel how he's making me feel. I press my mouth against his shoulder and whisper, "I've only ever been with Chris." Jonah is deep inside me when he stops suddenly and pulls back. Our eyes meet, and he smiles. "I've only ever wanted to be with you." He kisses me tenderly, and that's how it continues, him kissing me, moving gently in and out of me until I can no longer keep silent. I pull him closer so I can bury my face against his neck when it happens. I finish first, an explosive moment of emotions and pleasure and years of suppression finally coming to the surface. My body is trembling beneath him, and my nails have raked their way down his back when he groans against my cheek, shuddering on top of me. I expect it to end here, with him catching his breath and then rolling off me with a sigh. That's how the last 17 years of sex with Chris always ended. But Jonah isn't Chris, and I need to stop comparing them. It's unfair to Chris. Jonah is gently cradling the side of my head as we continue to kiss. This doesn't feel like it's over yet, this thing between me and Jonah. Now that I've had this side of him, I don't know how I can go on without it. That scares me, but I'm too satiated to stop his mouth as it moves over mine, across my jaw, finally coming to rest against my chest, where he calmly lays his head. We spend the next few minutes waiting for the current to settle between us. He slides his hand down my stomach and begins to run his finger lazily over my skin. "I'll do it." I feel my breath catch. Jonah lifts up onto his elbow, hovering over me. "I won't tell Elijah. If you promise me you won't put a stop to this, that you'll eventually tell Clara you want to be with me, I won't tell Elijah." He brushes back my hair and looks at me with eyes full of sincerity. "You're right. Clara deserves every great memory she has of Chris. I don't want to take that from her." I feel a tear slide into my hair as I look up at him. "You're right, too," I whisper. "I do love you." Jonah smiles. "I know you do. That's why we're naked." I laugh. He pulls me on top of him, and I realize as I look down at him that I've never felt like I belonged with another person more than I belong with Jonah Sullivan.
Chapter 30. Clara. "Let me get this straight," Lexi says. She kicks her feet up on the coffee table, nearly knocking over one of the bottles of wine. "Your mom is sleeping with Uncle Teacher?" I hiccup, then nod. "Her dead sister's fiance." I nod again. "Wow." She leans forward and grabs more wine. "I'm not drunk enough for this." She takes a swig straight from the bottle. I take it from her, not because I think she's gone overboard, but because I don't know that I'm drunk enough for it either. I take a sip, then set it between my legs, gripping the top of the bottle. "How long do you think it's been going on?" she asks. I shrug. "No telling. She's over there right now. We have that app, and that's where she is. Over there. With him." "Bastards," she says. After that insult leaves her mouth, she suddenly grows animated, hopping up from the couch. She stumbles, but catches herself. What if your mother and Jonah caused the wreck so they could be together? That's ridiculous. I'm serious, Clara. Do you not watch Dateline? I motion toward the television. We don't have cable anymore. Lexi begins pacing the living room, a little wobbly, but successfully. What if this is a conspiracy? I mean, think about it. Your dad and Jenny were together when they died. Why were they together? My dad had a flat tire. They work in the same building. Jenny was giving him a ride. They're dead because of my texts to Aunt Jenny. But I keep that thought to myself. Lexi narrows her eyes and snaps her fingers, like she just solved the case. Flat tires can be staged. I roll my eyes, grab my fork, and take another bite of the cake sitting on the coffee table. It's the saddest birthday cake I've ever seen. No one has even cut a slice from it. There are just huge chunks of cake missing from the top and sides. I speak with a mouthful.
My mom is a terrible person, but she's not a murderer.
Lexi raises an eyebrow. What about Uncle Teacher? He hasn't been around that long. Do we even know where he's been? There could be a trail of dead bodies in his wake. You watch way too much TV. She stomps over to me and bends over, coming face to face with me. True TV. I watch crimes that have actually happened. This stuff happens, Clara. More often than you think. I shove a bite of cake in her mouth to shut her up. It was unnecessary, though, because as soon as the front door opens, Lexi and I both clamp our mouths shut at the sudden presence of my mother. Lexi slowly begins to lower herself to the coffee table. Hello, Morgan, Lexi says, doing everything in her power to appear sober. It might have worked if she wasn't lifting her legs and stretching her back into an awkward position on the coffee table as she tries to hide the bottles of wine from my mother. Her entire body is stiff and contorted now. I appreciate her efforts, but she overestimates my mother's stupidity. My mother closes the door and stares at us with disappointment. She can see the empty bottles on the table, despite Lexi's attempt to sprawl out in front of them. Lexi forgot I'm also holding a bottle in my lap. Can't very well hide that at this point. My mother's eyes fall on me. Really, Clara? Her voice is flat, unsurprised. It's as if nothing I do could disturb her at this point. I was just leaving, Lexi says, pushing off the table. She begins to walk toward the door, but my mother holds out her hand. Give me your keys. Lexi's head rolls back with a groan. She pulls her keys from her pocket and drops them in my mother's hand. Does that mean I can stay the night? No. Call your mother to come get you. She looks at me. Clean up this mess. She takes Lexi's keys to the kitchen. Lexi pulls out her phone. Really? You're just gonna leave me here with her? She could be a murderer, I whisper. I don't really think that. But I also really don't want to be alone with my mother like this. When she's angry, it doesn't scare me. But right now, she just looks annoyed. That kind of terrifies me. It's out of character, which means I don't know what comes next. Uber will be here in 2 minutes, Lexi says, sliding her phone back into her pocket. She walks over to me and hugs me. Sorry, but I don't want to stay for this one. Call me if she murders you, okay? Fine, I say, pouting. Lexi walks outside, and I look at the coffee table, grab the bottle of wine that isn't quite empty yet, and I finish it off. I get the last swig down when it's ripped from my hand. I look at my mother, and maybe it's the alcohol. It might be the alcohol. But I hate her so much. I don't even know if I'd be sad if she died. Every time I look at her now, I wonder about their affair. Did it start before her sister got pregnant? Was she still sleeping with Jonah while accompanying Jenny to all her sonogram appointments? I always thought my mother was a terrible liar, but she's a better liar than anyone. She's better than me, and I'm the actress in the family. So, I say, very casually, how long have you and Jonah been fucking? My mother is forced to blow out a calming breath, her lips thin with anger. I'm not sure I've ever felt worried she might slap me, but I take a step back because she looks pissed enough to slap me right now. I'm done with this behavior, Clara. She picks up the other wine bottle and the red Solo cups Lexi and I started with. When she stands up straight, she looks me in the eye again. I would have never done that to Jenny. Or your father. Don't insult me like that. I want to believe her. I kind of do believe her, but I'm drunk, so my judgment is impaired. She walks to the kitchen, so I follow her. Is that where you've been? My mother ignores me as she begins pouring what little is left of the wine down the drain. What were you doing it, Jonas? I snap my fingers, trying to think of the word for the things people live in. Words are hard right now. The house, I finally say. Why were you at his house just now? We needed to talk. You didn't talk. You had sex. I can tell. I'm an expert now. My mother doesn't deny my accusation. She throws the empty bottles of wine in the trash, then finds the last bottle of wine in the kitchen and uncorks it, then pours it out in the sink. I point my hands toward her, clapping. Thinking ahead, I see. Good job. Good mom. Well, I can't really trust you with much of anything at this point, so whatever it takes. When that bottle is empty, she tosses it in the trash, then walks back to the living room. She swipes my phone off the table. I follow her down the hallway, even though I keep bumping into the wall with my shoulder. Words are hard, but walking is harder. I eventually just place my hand on the wall and balance myself until I get to my room. My mother is inside gathering things. My television, my iPad, my books. You're grounding me from books. Books are a privilege. You can earn them back. Oh my God. She's taking away everything that brings me any semblance of happiness. I stomp over to the corner where I tossed my favorite throw pillow this morning. It's purple and black sequined, and I like drawing shapes in it with my fingers. Sometimes I draw cuss words. It's fun. Here, I say, handing it to her. This pillow brings me a lot of joy, too. Better take it away. She snatches it out of my hand, and then I look for something else I like. I feel like we're in an upside-down Marie Kondo episode. Does it spark joy? Get rid of it. My earbuds are on my nightstand, so I grab them. I like these. I can't even use them because you took my phone and my iPad, but I still might be tempted to put them in my ears, so you better take them. I toss them into the hallway where she's setting all the other stuff. I grab my blanket off my bed. My blanket keeps me warm, it's really nice, and it still smells like Miller, so you better make me earn this one back. I throw it past her and pile it on top of my other things. My mother is standing in my bedroom doorway, watching me. I stomp to my closet and find my favorite pair of shoes. They're boots, actually. You got me these for Christmas, and since Texas winters are non-existent, I hardly get to wear them. But it's really awesome when I do get to wear them, so you better take them before winter comes. I toss them, one at a time, into the hallway. Stop patronizing me, Clara. I hear a text sound off on my phone. My mother pulls it out of her pocket, reads it, rolls her eyes, then puts my phone away. Who was it? Don't worry about it,
What did it say? You would know if you hadn't gotten wasted. Ugh. I walk to my closet and pull one of my favorite shirts off a hanger, then another. Better take these shirts. Take all my clothes. Actually, I don't need them. I can't leave the house anyway. Even if I could, I'd have nowhere to go because my boyfriend broke up with me on my birthday. Probably because my mother is crazy. I drop an armload of clothes onto the hallway floor. Stop being dramatic. He didn't break up with you. Go to bed, Clara. She closes my bedroom door. I swing it open. We did break up. How would you know if we broke up or not? Because, she says, turning to face me with a bored expression. That text was from him. It said, I hope you sleep well. See you at school tomorrow. People who break up don't text like that. Or send heart emojis. She starts to walk farther down the hallway, so I follow her because I need to know more. He put a heart emoji? She doesn't answer me. She keeps walking. What color was it? She's still ignoring me. Mom! Was it red? Was it a red heart? We're in the kitchen now. I lean against the counter because I feel something speeding through my head. A whoosh. I grip the counter for balance, then burp. I cover my mouth. My mother shakes her head, her eyes full of disappointment. It's like you printed off a checklist for ways to rebel and you've been marking them off one at a time. I don't have a checklist. But if I did, you'd probably take that from me too, because I like checklists. Checklists make me happy. My mother sighs, folding her arms over her chest. Clara, she says, her voice gentle. Sweetie, how do you think your father would feel if he could see you right now? If my father were alive, I wouldn't be drunk, I admit. I respected him too much to do that. You don't have to stop respecting him just because he's dead. Yeah, well, neither do you, Mom.
Chapter 31. Morgan. Clara's comment cut deep. I realized she drank an entire bottle of wine on her own. Two of them were completely empty. But sometimes drunken stupors make people more honest than they normally would be, which means she truly believes I'm disrespecting her father. It kills me that she thinks I'm the one in the wrong. I hope this passes. Her anger, her rebellion, her hatred toward me. I realize she'll never fully get over it, but I hope in the coming days she can somehow find it in herself to forgive me. I'm sure she will, once we're able to sit down and have a conversation. But she's still reeling from the realization that Jonah and I are intimately involved. To be honest, I'm still reeling from the realization. I open her door one more time to check on her before going to my bedroom. She's out cold. I'm sure she'll wake up with a raging hangover, but right now, she looks peaceful. I kind of hope she does have a hangover. What better way to ensure your child doesn't drink again than for their first time to be an awful experience? I hear my cell phone ringing, so I leave Clara's door cracked and go to my bedroom. In all the times Jonah has called me, this is the first time I've allowed myself to be excited to hear his voice. I sit down and lean back against the headboard and answer it. Hi.
Hey,
he says. I can hear the smile in his voice. It's quiet for a moment, and I realize he probably had no pressing reason to call me other than just to talk. That's a first. It's exhilarating. Feeling wanted? I slide down onto my back. What are you doing?
Staring at Elijah, Jonah says. It's so weird how fascinating it is just watching a baby sleep.
It doesn't end. I was just staring at Clara when you called.
That's good to know. So things were better when you got home?
I laugh. Oh, Jonah. I press my hand to my forehead. She's wasted. She and Lexi drank 2.5 bottles of wine while I was at your house.
No.
Yes. She's gonna regret it in the morning. He sighs.
I wish I knew what advice to give you, but I'm at a loss.
Me too. I'm calling a family therapist in the morning. I should have done it sooner, but I guess it's better late than never.
Should I expect her in class tomorrow?
I don't know that she'll be able to get out of bed. He laughs, but it's an empathetic laugh.
I hope the years drag by before Elijah's that age.
They won't. It'll go by in a blink. It's quiet for a moment. I like hearing him breathe. I kind of wish I was there with him right now. I cover myself with my blanket and roll onto my side, resting my phone against my ear.
You want to know one of my favorite memories of you? Jonah asks.
I grin. This sounds fun.
It was my senior prom, your junior prom. You remember?
Yes. You went with Tiffany Proctor. I spent the whole night trying not to watch the two of you dance. I can admit now that I was insanely jealous.
Makes two of us, Jonah says. Anyway, Chris was excited leading up to prom because he'd gotten a hotel for the two of you. I tried not to think about it all night. When it came time for him to leave, he was drunk.
So drunk, I say, laughing.
Yeah, I had to drive you guys to the hotel, dropped Tiffany off first, which pissed her off. When we got to the hotel, the two of us had to practically drag Chris up the stairs. When we finally got him on the bed, he passed out in the center of it.
I remember, but I don't know why that's Jonah's favorite memory of me. Before I can ask him what was so special about it, he continues the story.
You were hungry, so we ordered a pizza. I sat on one side of Chris and you sat on the other. We watched Blair Witch Project until the pizza got there, but we didn't have anywhere to set the pizza so that we could both reach it.
I smile at the memory. We used Chris as a table.
Sat the box of pizza right on his back.
I hear humor in Jonah's voice.
I don't know why I had so much fun that night. I mean, it was prom and I didn't even get kissed. But I did get to spend the entire night with you, even though Chris was passed out between us.
That was a good night. I'm still smiling, trying to think of one of my favorite memories with Jonah. Oh my God, remember the night you got pulled over?
Which time? I got pulled over a lot.
I don't remember where we were going or if we were coming from somewhere, but it was late and the highway was empty. Your car was a piece of shit, so Chris wanted you to see how fast it could go. You got all the way up to 90 when you got pulled over. When the cop came to your window, he said, "Do you realize how fast you were going?" You said, "Yes, sir, 90. And then the cop said, "Is there a reason you were driving 25 miles over the speed limit?" You paused for a moment and then said, "I don't like for things to go to waste." The officer looked at you and you waved towards your dash. "I have this entire speedometer, and most of the time, I don't even use half of it." Jonah laughs. Hard.
"I can't believe you remember that."
How could I forget? You pissed the cop off so bad, he pulled you out of the car and frisked you.
I got community service over that ticket. I had to pick up highway trash every Saturday for 3 months.
Yeah, but you looked cute in your yellow vest.
You and Chris used to think it was hilarious to drive by and throw empty soda cans at me.
All his idea, I say in defense.
I doubt that,
Jonah says. I sigh, thinking about all the good times, not just with Jonah, but with Chris too, and Jenny. So many with Jenny. I miss them, I whisper.
Yeah, me too.
I miss you, I say quietly.
I miss you too.
We both bask in this feeling for a moment, but then I hear Elijah starting to fuss. It doesn't last long. Jonah must have soothed him back to sleep somehow. Do you think you'll ever take a paternity test? I ask him. I know Elijah looks just like Chris, but it could be a coincidence. I've been wondering if Jonah wants valid proof.
I thought about it, but honestly, it'd be a waste of $100. He's mine, no matter what.
My heart feels like it rolls over in my chest after that comment. God, I love you, Jonah. My words shock me. I know we said it earlier, but I didn't mean to say it out loud just now. I was just feeling it, and then it came out. Jonah sighs.
You have no idea how good it feels to hear you say that.
It felt good to say it, finally. I love you, I whisper again.
Can you just say it like 15,000 more times before I hang up?
No, but I'll say it one more time. I am in love with you, Jonah Sullivan.
He groans. This is torture. I wish you were here.
I wish I was too. Elijah starts to cry again.
He doesn't let up this time. I need to go make him a bottle.
Okay, give him a kiss for me.
Will I see you tomorrow?
I don't know, I admit. We'll play it by ear.
Okay. Good night, Morgan.
Good night.
When we end the call, I'm amazed by the ache it leaves in my chest. I successfully fought these feelings for so long, but now that I've opened myself up to him, I want to be near him. I want to be in his arms, in his bed. I want to sleep next to him. I replay our entire conversation in my head as I try to fall asleep. A noise startles me, though. The sound came from the direction of Claire's bedroom. I jump out of my bed and rush down the hallway. She's not in her bed, so I open her bathroom door. She's on her knees, gripping the toilet. Here we go. I take a washcloth out of the cabinet and wet it, then kneel down next to her. I hold back her hair while she pukes. I hate that she's experiencing this, but I also love it. I want it to hurt. I want her to remember every terrible second of this hangover. It's a couple minutes later when she falls against me and says, I think it's over. I want to laugh because I know it isn't. I help her back to bed because she's still very drunk. When she lies down, I notice she's just using a sheet to cover up. I go to the spare bedroom, where I put all the things I confiscated. I grab her blanket and her sequined pillow, then grab a trash can and take them all to her. While I'm tucking her in, she mutters, I think I have vomit in my nose. I laugh and hand her a Kleenex. She blows her nose and drops the Kleenex in the trash can. Her eyes are closed, and I'm stroking her hair when she says, I don't ever want to drink again. Her words are slurred. I hated the pot, too. It smelled so bad. I don't want vomit in my nostrils again. It's the worst. I'm glad you hate it, I say.
I hated sex, too. I don't want to do that again for a long, long time. We weren't even ready. He tried to talk me out of it, and I wouldn't listen.
I know she's drunk, but her words surprise me. What does she mean he tried to talk her out of it? That was her idea? I'm still stroking her hair when she begins to cry. She presses her face into her pillow. I hate that whatever happened between them is making her feel this guilty. He obviously loves you, Clara. Don't cry. She shakes her head.
That's not why I'm crying.
She lifts her head from the pillow and looks at me.
I'm crying because it was my fault. It's my fault they died, and I try not to think about it, but that's all I think about when my head is on this pillow. Every single night. Except one time I fell asleep wondering why teddy bears are made to be cuddly, when real bears are so mean, but besides that one night, all I can think about is how it's my fault they had the wreck.
What are you talking about? She drops her face back into her pillow.
Go away, Mom.
Before I even move, she lifts her head again and says, No, wait, I want you to stay. She scoots over, patting the bed next to her.
Sing me that song you used to sing to me when I was little.
I'm still trying to catch up to what she said about the wreck being her fault. Why would she think that? I want to ask her about it, but she's too drunk to hold a real conversation right now. So I just climb into bed with her and appease her.
What song? You know, that song you used to sing to me when I was little? I sang you a lot of songs.
I don't think we had any one particular song.
Sing something else then. Do you know any 21 Pilots songs? We both like them.
I laugh and pull her against my chest.
Sing the song about the gold house,
she says. I run my hand soothingly over her head and start to sing quietly. She's nodding as I sing, letting me know that's the right song. I continue singing the song, stroking her hair, until the song is over and she's finally asleep. I gently slip out of her bed and stare down at her. Drunk Clara is kind of funny. I'd prefer to have seen it for the first time when she was 21, but at least it happened here, where I'm the one who gets to make sure she's taken care of. I tuck her blanket around her and then kiss her goodnight. You're driving me crazy right now, Clara. But my God, I love you.
Chapter 32. Clara.
Never in my life have I felt this terrible. I probably shouldn't have driven to school because my head hurts so bad I can barely keep my eyes open. But my mother took my phone last night and I wanted to talk to Miller. I need to talk to him. I don't really recall much that happened after Lexi arrived, but I certainly remember everything that happened with Miller before he left. And I regret all of it. When I see his truck pull into the parking lot, I get out of my car and walk over to it. He turns it off and then unlocks the passenger door. I have no idea if he's still mad at me, so the first thing I do when I'm in his truck is scoot across the seat and wrap my arms around him. I'm sorry I'm crazy. Miller hugs me back.
You aren't crazy.
He pushes me away, but only so he can readjust our position. He scoots toward the middle of the seat and pulls me onto his lap so that I'm straddling him and can look him in the eyes.
I felt bad after I left your house, but I was upset. I've wanted to be with you for a while now, but I want our time together to be meaningful to us and not related to or in spite of anyone else.
I know. I'm sorry. I feel terrible. Miller pulls me against his chest and rubs a soothing hand over my back.
I don't want you to feel terrible. I get it. You've been through a lot, Clara. I don't want you to stress out even more because of me or us. I just want to be part of everything that makes your life better.
God, I feel like such an asshole. I'm relieved and lucky that he's as understanding as he is. I kiss him on the cheek and look at him. Does that mean you don't want to break up with me anymore? He smiles.
I never did. I was just upset.
Good. I kiss the inside of his palm. Because it's really going to hurt when it happens someday. Just thinking you were breaking up with me for 2 seconds hurt like hell.
Maybe we'll never break up,
he says, his voice hopeful. Sadly, the odds aren't in our favor. He drags a thumb across my bottom lip.
That's a bummer. I sure will miss kissing you.
I nod. Yeah, I'm a great kisser. The best you'll ever have. He laughs, and I drop my head to his shoulder.
What do you think will be the cause of our future breakup?
I don't know,
he says, entertaining my distracting thoughts.
But it'll have to be way more dramatic than last night because we're in too deep.
It will be, I say. It'll be extremely dramatic. You'll probably become a famous musician and you'll fall in love with the fame and leave me behind.
I don't even play an instrument. I can't sing for shit.
I'll probably become a famous actress then, and I'll introduce you to one of my co-stars who is more famous than me, and you'll find her more attractive, and you'll want to touch all her Academy Awards.
Not possible. That kind of person doesn't exist.
I sit up so I can see his face. Maybe they'll colonize Mars and I'll want to move there and you won't. He shakes his head.
I'll still love you from a different planet.
I pause. He said, I'll still love you. I know he didn't mean it that way, but I grin teasingly. Did you just admit that you're in love with me? He shrugs, and then his lips spread apart in a shy smile.
Sometimes I feel like I am. I'm sure it's not all that deep yet. We haven't been together that long. We argue a lot more than I'd like. But I feel it. Right below the surface. Tingling. Keeps me awake at night.
That could just be restless leg syndrome. He smiles with a slow shake of his head.
Nope.
This could be the cause of our dramatic breakup. You telling me you might be falling in love with me way too soon?
You think it's too soon? I kind of thought it was the perfect moment.
He leans forward and kisses me softly on the cheek.
I've waited 3 years to be with you. If falling in love with you too soon will ruin that, then I don't even like you. In fact, I hate you.
I smile. I hate you too. He threads our fingers together and smiles.
Seriously, maybe we really won't break up. Ever.
But heartache builds character, remember?
So does being in love,
he says. What a great point. It's such a good point, I kiss him for it. I only give him a peck, though, because I don't think he wants his tongue in my mouth after last night. Me and Lexi got drunk after you left. I'm pretty hungover, so I think I'm just going to go back home. I have a headache the size of Rhode Island.
Rhode Island is actually pretty small, he says.
Nebraska, then.
Oh. Well, in that case, you should definitely go home and go back to bed.
I kiss him again, on the cheek. I'll give you a better kiss next time I see you.
But I've been puking all night. When will I see you next?
I shrug. I'll be at school tomorrow, but I'm probably grounded for a really long time. Miller tucks hair behind my ear, hugs me, and then says,
"Thank you for coming to see me.
Thank you for putting up with me." When we get out of his truck, he gives me one final hug. It's comforting. And on the drive home, I think about his hugs. My dad's hugs. Jonah's hugs. They're all great. But if I'm being honest, nothing really compares to my mother's hugs. Or her kisses. I don't really remember a lot about last night, but I do remember her helping me in the bathroom. And for some weird reason, I remember she was in my bed singing me a random 21 Pilots song. And I remember her kissing me on the forehead, right before she told me she loved me. Even at 17 years old, I still feel all the comforts of childhood when I'm sick and my mother takes care of me. I woke up with my blanket and my sequined pillow. It made me smile, even through the headache, even through my anger. I wonder if I can somehow separate the anger from the love. I don't want her actions with Jonah to have an effect on the way I feel about her. She's my mother. I don't want to hate her. But what if I won't be able to forgive her? But how do I even know that Jenny and my dad aren't happy for my mom and Jonah? What if they somehow set this in motion from wherever they are? What if my anger is interfering with that somehow? I have a lot of questions. Most of them, I know, can't be answered. It's making my head hurt even more. When I finally walk into the house, my mother is awake. She's sitting on the couch with her laptop, probably still applying for jobs. She glances up at me as I shut the door.
You okay?
I nod. I thought I could do school, but I was wrong. I have a Nebraska headache. I point toward my room. I'm gonna go back to bed.
Chapter 33. Morgan. I googled Nebraska headache when Clara got home this morning, but couldn't figure out what it meant. I thought maybe it was slang, but if it is, it must be brand new slang. I feel fairly productive today. I have a job interview for a secretary position at a real estate firm next week. Not ideal, because the pay is low, but it's a start. I find the idea of selling real estate appealing, so I thought if I could get the job, I might get a taste for it and see if that's what I want to study. I've been looking up ways I can somehow work and go to college at the same time. There are so many more options now than there were when I was 18. If I had the opportunity to take night classes and online classes when Clara was younger, I probably would have finished my degree. I've been feeling sorry for myself, but in reality, this isn't all Chris's fault. I knew he wasn't invincible. I could have easily gone to college part-time to prepare myself if something were to ever happen to him. And I'm honestly lucky he had a life insurance policy that'll give me time to figure it out. As I was looking through the paperwork in the bedroom, I came across my birthday board, which Clara and I worked on the night before Chris died. I never put it back where I usually keep them, because the next day altered everything. It somehow ended up under my bed. It reminded me that we still need to do Clara's. I know she probably doesn't feel like it, but it's tradition. So when I hear her up and showering, I pull out the craft supplies and set them on the table. I make a charcuterie board and set it on the table next to her birthday board because I doubt she'll feel like eating much, but she needs to eat something. When she finally walks out of her room, I'm at the table on my laptop. She stares at her birthday board. I close my laptop, and surprisingly, she walks to the table and takes a seat without a fuss. She pops a grape into her mouth. We make eye contact, but neither of us speaks. She grabs a blue marker, and I grab a purple one. She stares at her board, at all the things we've put on it over the years. I like it because her handwriting has evolved throughout the years. Her first goal was written in green crayon, spelled wrong, American Girl Doll. It was a want rather than a goal, but she was young. She eventually learned the difference over time. Clara begins to write something. It's not just one thing, it's several things. When she's finished, I lean forward and read the list. 1. I want my mother to see my boyfriend for who he really is. 2. I want my mother to be honest with me, and I want to be honest with her. 3. I want to be an actress, and I want my mother to support that dream. Clara puts the lid back on her marker, pops another grape in her mouth, and walks into the kitchen to get a drink. Her goals make me sigh. I can tackle the first one. I can pretend to tackle the second one. But the third one is tough for me. Maybe I'm too realistic, too practical. I follow her into the kitchen, and she's pouring herself a glass of ice water. She pops 2 aspirin and swallows. I know you want me to major in something more practical, but at least I'm not running off to Los Angeles without getting a degree first, she says. And I need to start looking at schools soon. I need to know what we can afford now that Dad is gone. What if we compromise? What if you get a degree in something more realistic, like psychology or accounting, and then after you graduate, you can move to Los Angeles and audition for roles while you're holding a real job? Acting is a real job, she says. She walks back to the table and takes a seat, selecting a piece of cheese to eat. She talks while she chews. The way I see it, my life is going to go one of 3 ways. Which are? She holds up a finger. I get a BFA in acting from the University of Texas. I try to become an actress. I succeed. She holds up another finger. Or I get a BFA in acting from the University of Texas. I try to become an actress. I fail. But at least I followed my dreams and can figure out where to go from there. She holds up a third finger. Or, I follow your dreams, major in something I am absolutely not interested in, and spend the rest of my life blaming you for not encouraging me to follow my dreams. She drops her hand and leans back in her chair. I stare at her a moment, soaking in everything she just said. I realize as I'm looking at her that something happened. I don't know when or if it was gradual or overnight, but something has changed in her significantly. Or maybe something has changed in me. But she's right. The dreams I have for her life aren't nearly as important as the dreams she has for herself. I grab my marker and pull her birthday board toward me. I write, "My dreams for Clara are less than Clara's dreams for herself." Clara reads it, and it makes her smile. She takes another bite of cheese and starts to get up from the table. But I don't want to be done yet. I feel like I may not get another opportunity to talk like this with her for a while. Clara, wait. There's something I want to talk to you about. She doesn't take her seat. She grips the back of the chair, an indication she doesn't want this conversation to last long. Last night, you said something to me, and I want to know what you meant. It might have been the alcohol talking, but you blamed yourself. You said the wreck was your fault. I shake my head in confusion. Why would you think that? I see her swallow. I said that? You said a lot of things, but that one seemed to really upset you. Clara's eyes immediately moisten, but she releases the chair and turns away. I don't know why I said that. Her voice cracks as she walks across the living room toward her bedroom. For once, I can tell she's lying. Clara. I stand up and follow her. I reach her before she disappears down the hallway. When I spin her around, she's crying. It's heartbreaking seeing her so upset, so I pull her to me, holding her, attempting to soothe her. I was texting Aunt Jenny when they had the wreck, she says. She's clinging to me like she's scared to let go. I didn't know she was driving. One second we were chatting, and then the next, she stopped responding. Clara's shoulders are shaking against me. I can't believe she thinks it's her fault. I pull away from her and hold her face in my hands. Jenny wasn't even driving, Clara. It wasn't your fault. She looks at me with shock, disbelief. She shakes her head. It was her car. You told me at the hospital. You said she gave Dad a ride. I told you that, but I swear it was your father who was driving. He was driving Aunt Jenny's car. I never would have told you that if I knew you would think it was your fault. Clara takes a step back, swallowed up in confusion. She wipes her eyes. But why would you tell me that? Why would you say she was driving if she wasn't? It hits me that I have no idea how to back up the lie I told her, and I have no excuse for it either. And I'm a terrible liar. Shit, I shrug, trying to make it seem like it's less than it is. Maybe I was confused. I can't remember. I take a step toward her and squeeze her hands, but I promise I'm telling you the truth now. Your Aunt Jenny was in the passenger seat. I'll show you the accident report if you don't believe me, but I don't want you thinking this was your fault for another second. Clara isn't crying anymore. She's looking at me with suspicion in her eyes. Why was Dad driving Aunt Jenny's car? He had a flat? No, he didn't. You're lying. I shake my head, but I can feel my cheeks reddening. My pulse is racing. Just let it go, Clara. Why were they together, Mom? They just were. He needed a ride. I turn to go back to the table. Maybe if I start cleaning, I won't start crying. But when I reach the table, my fearful tears begin to pour out. This is the last thing I wanted. The last thing. Mom, what aren't you telling me? She's beside me now, demanding answers. I turn to her, desperate. Stop asking questions, Clara. Please. Just accept it and never ask about it again. She takes a step back, as if I just slapped her. Her hand goes up to her mouth. Were they? There's no color left in her face, not even her lips. She sits down in a chair and stares at the table for a moment. Then, where's Dad's car? If it was just a flat, why did we never get it back? I don't even know how to answer that. Why did you refuse to combine their funerals? They basically had all the same friends and family, so it made more sense, but you seemed so angry and kept demanding they be separate. Clara covers her face with her hands. Oh my God. When she looks at me again, her eyes are pleading. She's shaking her head back and forth. Mom? She's looking at me with fear. I reach across the table. I want to shield her from this blow, but she's running toward her bedroom now. She slams her door, and I follow her in a second, but I need a moment. I grip the back of the chair and lean forward, trying to breathe slowly. To calm myself, I knew this would kill her. She opens her bedroom door. I look up, and she's rushing back to me, full of more questions. I know exactly how she feels, because I'm still full of questions. What about you and Jonah? How long has that been happening? There's an accusatory tone to her voice. We weren't. The night you walked in on us, that was the first time we ever even kissed, I swear. She's crying now. She's pacing, like she doesn't know what to do with all the anger. Who to throw it at? She clenches her stomach and stops pacing. No. Please, no. She points at the front door. That's why he left Elijah here? That's why he said he couldn't do it? Clara is gasping now between tears. I pull her in for a hug, but it doesn't last.
She pulls away from me. Is Dad? Is Jonah not Elijah's father? I feel like my throat is so constricted, noise can't even slide up it. I just whisper, Clara, sweetie. She sinks to the floor in a heap of tears. I lower myself and put my arms around her. She hugs me back. And as good as it feels to be needed by her right now, I'd give anything for this not to be happening. Did you know? Before the wreck? I shake my head. No. Did Jonah? No. How did you... When did you find out about them? The day they died. Clara hugs me even harder. Mom! She says my name with such a guttural ache. It's like she's needing something she knows I can't give her. A comfort I don't even know how to provide. She pulls away from me and stands up. I can't do this. She goes to her room and comes back with her purse and her keys. She's hysterical. I can't let her drive a car like this. I walk over to her and take her keys out of her hand. She tries to snatch them back, but I don't let her have them. Mom, please. You aren't leaving. Not when you're this upset. Clara drops her purse in defeat and covers her face with her hands. She just stands there, crying to herself. Then she slides her hands down her face and looks at me with imploring eyes, dropping her arms to her sides. Please, I need Miller. Those words coupled with that look in her eyes, it all shatters me. It feels like my soul has been stomped on. But somehow, even beneath all the pain, I understand. Right now, I'm not what she needs. I'm not the solace she'll find the most comforting. And even though it feels like the death of a huge part of our relationship, I'm grateful to know there's someone out there who gives her that besides me. I nod. Okay, I'll take you to him.
Chapter 34. Clara. Miller has a line of customers when I walk into the theater. As soon as he looks at me, I can tell he wants to jump over the counter. He looks worried but helpless. He holds up four fingers, so I nod and walk to Theater 4. I sit in the closest seat to the door this time. I'm too tired to walk all the way to the top. I stare at the blank screen, wondering why Jenny never decided to act. She'd have been good at it. My dad, too. I shake my head, lifting my t-shirt to wipe my eyes. I should feel relieved to know that my text didn't cause the wreck because Aunt Jenny wasn't even driving. But I don't feel any relief at all. I don't even feel anger. I feel like all my anger has been directed at my mother for so long that I don't even have any left. Right now, I just feel disappointed. Defeated. It's as if all the romance novels I've ever read have turned into dystopian fantasies. My whole life, I thought I had these great examples of love and family and humanity around me, but it was all bullshit. The love I thought my father had for my mother was a lie. And the thing that bothers me the most about it is that half of me is made up of him. Does that mean I'm capable of being the kind of human he was? The kind to betray your spouse and child while plastering a loving smile on your face for so many years? I hear the door to the theater open. Miller walks over to me and then leans down to kiss me. I pull away. I don't feel like a kiss right now. Or maybe I don't feel like I deserve a kiss right now. Whatever this is I feel for him, it worries me that it's nothing more than manufactured signals from my brain that'll eventually fade. Miller steps over me and sits down in the seat to my right.
Did I do something wrong?
No, I say, shaking my head. But you will.
I will. Everyone does. Everyone fucks up.
Hey, he says, touching my cheek. Pulling my teary eyes to his. What happened? My father had an affair with Aunt Jenny. Elijah is his, not Jonah's. My confession stuns him. He drops his hand and falls against his seat.
Shit.
It felt weird, saying it out loud.
Does Jonah know?
He didn't know until after the wreck. Miller lifts an arm and slips it behind me, despite my earlier hesitance to let him kiss me. He begins to gently rub my back. I lean into him, even though right now I'm convinced that love is stupid and I'll probably break his heart someday. I shake my head, still in disbelief as I think about it all. I idolized my dad. I thought he was perfect, and her? She was my best friend. Miller kisses me on top of the head.
How's your mother taking it?
I don't know how to answer that. Because looking back on it, I don't know how my mother even got out of bed after finding something like this out. For the first time since the wreck, I feel this ache for her. For what she went through. What she's still going through. I have no idea how she's still functioning. It kind of even makes sense now that she and Jonah would lean on each other through this. They had to. They were the only ones who knew, so who else could she have talked to about it besides Jonah? We're quiet for a while. I'm trying to work through it. I think Miller is just giving me time to process everything. I don't expect him to give me advice. That's not why I'm here. I just needed to be near him. I wanted his arms around me. It reminds me of all the times growing up, how my father would always comfort my mother. She didn't need it a lot, but sometimes I would see him holding her while she was upset. Now I realize it was all fake. All those looks of concern he gave her. They weren't real. He was sleeping with her sister. How could he pretend to love her while doing something so incredibly vicious? I trusted him more than I've ever trusted any man in the world. It makes me doubt everything. Everyone, myself, maybe even Miller. I don't even know what Miller's intentions actually were in the beginning. I face him. Would you have cheated on Shelby with me? He looks thrown off by my question.
No, why?
That day in your truck, I thought maybe you wanted to. Miller sighs heavily with a look of guilt on his face.
I was confused, Clara. I wanted to talk to you, but when you got in the truck with me, I didn't like how I was feeling. I wouldn't have cheated on her, but I can't say that I didn't have the urge.
Do you still talk to her? He shakes his head, but the shake of his head is coupled with an eye roll. It looks like he's growing frustrated with me. It slams me right in the chest. Every time I'm angry, I find myself involving him somehow. I'd almost rather him break up with me than lose respect for me. But if I keep behaving this way, that's exactly what will happen. I'm sorry, I say. All of this is messing with my head, and I don't know who to be mad at. Miller brings my hand to his mouth. He kisses the back of it, giving a reassuring squeeze. Remember when you thought I was epic? I laugh at that. How could anyone think I'm epic?
I still think you're epic.
He says.
Frustratingly epic.
Or epically frustrating. You started dating me at the absolute worst moment of my life. I'm sorry you've had to deal with all this shit. He lifts his hand and gently cups my face.
I'm sorry you've had to deal with all this shit.
Sometimes when he says things to me, his words feel like they reach me through my chest rather than through my ears. I love that he's so understanding, so patient. I don't know where he gets it from, but maybe the more I'm around him,
the more I'll become like him. Imagine how great we'll be when I'm finally emotionally stable. He pulls me into a hug.
You're great now, Clara. Damn near perfect.
Near?
I'd say a 9 out of 10.
What's the reason for the 1-point deduction? He sighs.
It's that pineapple on pizza, unfortunately.
I laugh, and then I lift the armrest that's separating us to snuggle against him. We're quiet for a while after that. He holds me.